Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon-coming king awaits.
This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
You just gotta laugh sometimes. I'm sitting there playing the intro, but anyways. Hallelujah, bride, come on now. This is Dr. June Knight with the Clarion Call Show. Look, we have been under attack tonight, but we are overcomers because the truth shall prevail. Listen, tonight we are here with an awesome man of God. Please give it up for Pastor Dr. Philip Morris. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
Hey, we are finally live on air. Thank you so much for your patience with us tonight. We appreciate it so much, Dr. Morris. Dr. Morris, if you don't mind telling them a little bit about your ministry, please.
Okay, I pastor Restoration Church in Highlands, Texas. 1609 Jones Road in Highlands, Texas. We're 21 miles east of downtown Houston, right out I-10. And so we've just celebrated our 25th anniversary of our church last Saturday night. And God is just awesome. I've been teaching deliverance and been doing deliverance since 1982, 35 years of it. And I go everywhere to teach and to do deliverance. If a church wants me to come in, or if there's several people in the community that want to sponsor me coming in, and I do home meetings and I travel around the world doing teaching about deliverance and doing deliverance, and so I go where God leads me. And where he opens the door. Amen.
Yes, now, Dr. Morris, listen, I just want all of the bride to know that Dr. Morris is not flaky. He is very much a very real minister. I sat under him for about 5 months last year and was able to sit in his schools. He conducted 4 schools during the summer of 2016 where he taught about spiritual warfare. I was so honored to sit there and to gather the wisdom from this man when he explained about demons and how the hierarchy works and how they're an army like we are and where they're at and what position we are and they are and how it all works. You know, it was really awesome, which I believe, Pastor Morris, which is why this broadcast is going on tonight, because you taught me, and now I'm hoping to share with the world the wisdom. If you don't mind explaining to them in a short little bit about how demons even began and what are they and where are they at, if you don't mind telling us that, sir.
Okay, I believe that, you know, whenever Satan was thrown out of heaven because of his pride and rebellion, and it said he took a third of the angels with him, I believe
right.
that the demons that we encounter are those fallen angels that came out of heaven. I know there's other ministries that teach other things and all that, but that's what I believe. That's what I've I see that the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle against principalities and powers. And as I was looking at that, there, I have a whole series on principalities and powers and end time generals, and the Revelation talks about the spirits of demons, three demons that look like frogs, and I see those as the end time generals. I believe there are seven principalities that went along with the seven spirits of God out of Isaiah 11, that they counter the Isaiah 11 seven spirits of the Lord, you know, and where it talks about in Revelations also about the seven spirits before the throne. And so the Lord has those, and the devil is a copycat. And so the seven principalities, principality means first ones in order of time or rank. And so I went to Genesis, the third chapter, and began to look at the first seven principalities of seven demons that came in, and deception and lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and a lust for power. And then death, and then a spirit of harlotry that leads us astray out of Hosea, the fourth chapter, and then fear, because, you know, he was feared. Adam was fearful because of what he'd done. And so those are the seven principalities, and then you have the host of demons underneath them that are in those households, and so we deal with it, and we deal with them systematically and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And we've just seen tremendous, tremendous deliverances of people. And, of course, my doctoral dissertation was multiple personality disorder, psychological or demonic. And I published that book, and you can get that book on Amazon, you know, Barnes & Noble. You can buy it online. You can go to my website, which is drphilipmorse.org, and you can buy all types of material, my schools, my books, my CDs, and series, and everything else, you know, at drphilipmorse.org. But God thrust me into deliverance ministry back in 1982, and I didn't have a clue about what I was doing. And I learned a whole lot of things by doing something wrong, making a mistake, and the Lord corrected me. And but I stay right with the scriptures, and I tell people, if it's not in the scriptures, and if I say it, if it's not in the scriptures, don't believe it. You know? And so Jesus spent, you know, a third of his ministry, you know, casting demons out of people. And so he said that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. He said, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Those things are what he did. He expects us to do what he did. He said, if we believe, we'll do the same works that he did. And John, you know, and so those are the things that we do. And, you know, there's in our town, there's no other church in our town that does anything like this, you know. And but that's just, I look at it, that's the problem with the church today. There's not enough churches that really deal with the demonic, the spiritual end of things. Anyway, I just, is that what you, kind of what you wanted me to say, you know? Did I lose you?
No, I'm here, Pastor. I'm sorry. I had it on mute while you were talking. Listen, I would like for you to explain to the bride. You explained, like, that you believe that the demons came, they're like the fallen angels and all this, and their goal is to take us out as Christians, right?
Absolutely. They don't like any of mankind, but the Christians they really hate, you know. And the deal with the people who are not Christians, they're already under the influence of the devil, you know. And so he has them. They're his people. So he's going to attack the other. I mean, who was it, the singer the other day? Rihanna told kids, what was that, in the Philippines? In the islands, in Barbados. She's back there, and she's a big saint back there. I mean, they just think she's wonderful, you know, because she's from there. And she told him, she said, listen, all you kids out here have been praying to Jesus all your life, and he's not done anything. You need to pray to the devil. Pray to Satan.
Wow.
He'll give you power and glory.
And
so that tells me she sold her soul to the devil for all the power that she has, the fame that she has. And a lot of people do that. There's a lot of people. There's a commercial. I just saw a billboard down here, and it's about, I don't know, vodka or something, you know. And it says, pour out your soul. And I'm thinking, boy, isn't that the truth? You get caught up in that stuff and you sell your soul off to the devil. You pour your soul out to the devil, man. And so there's so many people that get caught up in that, and they don't understand the spiritual battle they're in, and they don't know how to fight it. And they don't know how to fight it, and so therefore they don't get the victory. They struggle under those things. That's why there's so much of the church is struggling with alcoholism and pornography addictions and drug addictions and stuff like that. It's because they don't understand the spiritual battle they're in. And so, you know, the people that do understand it and will fight the battle, you know, there's not that many of them around. And that's why we get people from all over.
I know it. For some reason, over the past 20 or 30 years, it does seem to be less in the churches of casting out demons. Actually, it used to be a lot more of the manifestations like speaking in tongues, giving an interpretation in tongues, and giving words of knowledge out loud. Do you know what I'm saying, Pastor? It's like there's been a really decline.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of the churches that, you know, it's almost like whenever they begin to get a little bit of size to them, then they stop that, you know. And I understand some of that reason if you get too many people and then, you know. But if you look at 1 Corinthians, it says, you know, two or three at the most, you know. And so you can limit that. And so there's a way of getting around that. But there's, like you said, it just doesn't happen that much anymore. And I think it's because there's not enough people that teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not enough people who stress the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And of course,
yes, sir.
You're not going to get any teaching of it except in a charismatic type church, you know.
Yes. Now, Pastor, we're going to move on to the demons. The whole broadcast tonight was brought on because it is trying to encourage the bride to clean house, you know, and trying to expose how the enemy has come in the church culturally, come in through an increase of tattoos across America, period, in the church, out of the church, just an influx of tattoos. So being that I knew your teaching of how it affects you spiritually, that's why we're doing the broadcast tonight. So let's talk about tattoos. Now, I was going to show a video, if this software would have worked right, I was going to show the video how the needles, the way that the needles, it's a bunch of them that actually just cut constantly into the skin. It's like just cutting, bleeding. You know, and what I found out through my research, Pastor, is that to some people it becomes very addictive. And also, the person that does the tattoo, the actual artist, one of their missions when you come to get your first one, because most people that get their first ones are very nervous about it, so they try to encourage them about their second one. They want tattoo artists, want to build a need for them to want to come back, and then they become addicted, and then they just go over and over and over again with their tattoos. And also, I was going to show another video of a lady in another country that ended up, after her divorce, she ended up tattooing her body from head to toe to look like a literal demon, and she put these metal bars in her head to look like horns underneath her skin. She did her eyeballs to look like she was a demon and has all this very weird stuff with pierces. I'll put it on when I upload this to YouTube. I'll add all these videos in there. But I want to talk about the cause, like the repercussions of getting a tattoo. Now, can you tell us what you know about that, Pastor?
Well, what I've said before is that whenever you are being tattooed, you're being pierced. It's almost like the body piercing. And the only difference is the body piercing, they make a hole and they put something in it, and you have something there. With a tattoo, they make the holes and they put ink in there, and you have this on your skin. But whenever you're piercing yourself like that, you're opening yourself up to Leviathan, who is, you know, he's a piercing spirit, and when you look at it, he's the king of all pride. And Job 41 talks about that. And so he's the children of all pride. And so whenever we're looking at that, you know, you're opening yourself up to the demonic, to actual connection with Satan through that. And I don't understand why people do it. Of course, when I was a kid, you know, and I was growing up in Indiana, you know, and when I was growing up, it was like the only ones we ever saw got a tattoo was, you know, drunken sailors, you know, who get drunk and get tattooed, you know, someplace, or bikers, you know, and it was
right.
Just, you looked at that and you didn't want anything to do with that. I didn't want to do it because it's going to hurt me, you know. And so
right.
The Lord kept me away from a lot of things like that when I was younger. But, you know, the Bible says, you know, in Job 41, it talks about that Leviathan beholdeth all high things. He's the children over all the children. He's king over all the children of pride. And so God's told us to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We don't need that. We don't need that in our life. We don't need to be able to, we don't need to open ourselves up to openly allow demons to come into our body. And
another thing about tattoos, when I did the Bible study, I know me and you was talking about this earlier, but I asked the Lord when I was studying Leviticus 19, I said, Lord, why do you not want the bride to get tattoos? And I read the whole chapter, and what the Lord showed me is that when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, that is how Egypt used to do things. They used to tattoo. And he said, do not do these things, for I am the Lord. I brought you out of Egypt so that you can worship me in peace and you can obey my laws. So the Lord showed me on this part is that he wants us to be separated unto him. He does not want us looking like Egypt or acting like Egypt. So when you say, I know there's people asking this question, when you say that they have shed blood, apparently those needles draw blood. But how is that significant spiritually to draw blood, Pastor?
Well, if the shed blood, there with every covenant, there is a shedding of blood. And so I'm going into a tattoo guy, and he's shedding my blood. Am I entering into a covenant with a person that is not a Christian, who is would just as soon put a skull and crossbones on your body as an angel or a scripture or whatever, you know. And you're shedding blood. You're shedding blood with someone that is not a Christian, and therefore you're unequally yoked with that person. And the Bible says not to have that. You know, and you talk about Egypt. Well, what happened whenever, you know, Moses went up on the mountain and was up there for 40 days, and they said, well, we don't know what's happening, this Moses guy, you know. We don't know what's – so, Aaron, why don't you make us some idols, you know, that we can worship. And what did they get? He said, give me all your earrings. And they took the earrings, the pierced earrings, out of their ears and made the golden calf. And it was the earrings they wore while they were in Egypt as slaves. And then they come out and made those golden calf and started worshiping it, saying, oh, you're the one who brought us out and all that and everything. And they was all led astray there. And see, that's whenever we go in and begin to get piercings, you know, what we're doing is, like you just said, we're practicing the things that the heathen do, and we're imitating what the heathen do, and that's not what God wants us to do.
Yeah. Well, there are some that say that there's Christian tattoo parlors, and they even sent me the link to the tattoo parlors, and when I researched them, they had occultic symbols up on the wall. And, you know, I tell them, how can we expect, especially as ministers, to allow to walk in a satanic place, to allow the person that is doing this to you that's not a Christian, that will carve your skin with a satanic instrument, and then knowing that that instrument carved satanic images on other humans that we are trying to save, we are trying to bring out of that Egyptian mindset and that worldly mindset. And then, this is another issue, Pastor, what if we are in a tattoo parlor, or we see somebody that's went into a tattoo parlor, and they see us go in there, and they have an addiction to it. Let's say, even for an excuse-wise, let's say we don't have an addiction to a tattoo, we can go in there and get one or two, like say if we went in the bar and got one or two drinks. But we're ministering, and then one of the people from our congregation walks in, and they actually have an addiction and can't stop. And then they go and go and go and go until they have Satan carved all over them. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider when it comes to getting a tattoo, and much less the health aspect. I was going to show a video of the health. It's very, it has a lot of dangerous aspects to it, such as ink. The ink sometimes is not have good, you know, made out of good things, and that's inserted into your skin. The ink is, which can cause infection. It can cause bacteria. It can cause all kinds of things to go bad. You know, Pastor?
Yeah. And here's the thing, that if you try to talk to someone about their tattoo, they'll bow up on you and, you know, want to argue with you about it and everything else. What is that? Isn't that pride bowing up, defending themselves? You know, and you know, like I said earlier, I had this guy in our church that he led praise and worship. He's a guitar player, and he had full sleeve tats, but I believe that those were, you know, he did those before he was a Christian. And so,
right.
You know, and I looked at that, and I feel like those things were all under the blood of Christ. Whenever he accepted Christ and asked Jesus to come into his heart, God forgave him of sin, and
right.
he was forgiven. And so therefore I wouldn't condemn him for those things. I tell
right.
You know, what I do, when someone comes in and they go through deliverance with me who has a tattoo, I anoint that tattoo with oil. I'll anoint that
right.
Tattoo, bind every spirit that came in through it, command it to leave that person, And, of course, after I've led them through to break ungodly soul ties and to ask forgiveness and that. But, I don't condemn people because they have a tattoo. It's like, that they're already going to catch enough from that. If, especially if it's a lot of times they do, we're just not in your right mind when you go and you tattoo some foul language on your body, because then where you get, what happens? You become a Christian. Now you've got to do something with that, to get rid of that. A lot of people go and they'll tattoo their boyfriend or girlfriend or their husband or spouse's name on there, and then they end up splitting up with them. And then what you got to do, So it's a lot of stuff like that. I don't condemn people for what they've done in the past.
No.
Because God has forgiven them. But I tell them, don't get any more.
Yes, now, Pastor, I want to point this out tonight. This is not to condemn anyone that has gotten a tattoo. Like I've been saying on my Facebook wall, this is merely to educate the church that this is just taking over the church. It's gotten way out of control. The culture has tried to accept that and tried to come in the church. Why? Because the enemy wants to take us out. So, look, Bob, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to learn more from Dr. Morrison. Also, we have a gentleman calling in tonight that is going to go through deliverance live on air. Here we go, Bob, one moment. Boy, that devil is a liar, Pastor. It won't work either. I tell you, the devil is mad tonight about this broadcast. Okay. Well, Blog Talk Radio won't play that either. All right, Brian. Well, listen, now, Pastor, I want to ask you this. You was talking about the soul ties, okay.
Lost you.
Soul ties is that we have partnered with someone in this sin.
Hello?
Is that what a soul tie is?
Yeah, soul ties. You have such an emotional tie with them. You've come into an agreement with them. And a lot of times if we've done a sinful thing with someone, we have an ungodly soul tie with them. And, if someone's – their soul ties are – there's many ways they get connected with someone, and it's an emotional tie with them. Well, if you go into a tattoo parlor, you are coming into an agreement with this person to cut your body up, to tattoo you into, so you're in agreement with them. You have an ungodly soul tie with that person, because an ungodly soul tie will pull you away from God's plan for your life.
Right.
And so you need to break the ungodly soul tie with the artist, and with if someone took you there, talked you into it, paid for it, or anything like that, you need to break the ungodly soul ties with all those people like that that's involved.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now let me ask you this too, Pastor. What does a person do? I mean, how will it affect them if they just ignore it? Like, if they have one, that's one demon coming in, and if they have another one, that's another demon. So does that mean, like, if they have 10 tattoos, that they have 10 demons, or what?
I probably got more than that. if they're going in and doing this, and they're doing it repeatedly and repeatedly, then they are opening themselves up many, many times. And, like Frank Hammond used to say to me, he said, people say, oh, yeah, you're that demon man. You believe there's a demon behind every door. He said, no, I believe there's a whole bunch of them behind every door. He said, because they run in packs, And so you got 10 tattoos. You got a whole lot more than 10 demons in there, because there's a whole lot more stuff came in through that.
Yeah.
You know, because once you open the door up, man, they're just, they're wanting to rush in. They're wanting to steal, kill, and destroy. They want to destroy you. Or they want to destroy your testimony with people.
Well, but I can just hear people say that are watching this broadcast right now, what about all them ministers out there that are full of tattoos and they have signs, miracles, and wonders?
I've known people personally that when they got under the anointing of God and walking in the calling that God has put them in, then as they preach the word of God, there's signs and wonders. If you look at the Bible, Matthew said, and they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord confirmed the word preached with signs and wonders. So it's them that's doing the signs and wonders. It's the Holy Spirit anyway. And so his callings are irrevocable. And
yes.
So, you know, they're there. They're preaching the word. I've known pastors who, man, under the anointing on the platform when they teach, they can teach the word of God. It was awesome, you know, and see power and signs and everything else. And they get off that platform and get out from underneath the anointing, and they just be jerks, you know. They just,
yeah.
You know. So it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And if we look at someone, I tell people all the time, you know, it used to be in the charismatic church, they measured your level of spirituality by whether or not you could prophesy or you get a word of knowledge or something, you know, operate in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit out of 1 Corinthians 12. I said, that's not, those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I said, that's something that a brand new baby Christian could do. That doesn't measure your maturity level at all. And so whenever we allow the Holy Spirit to use us, and, you know, we'll see that. And, of course, then, you know, that's of course, that's giving them the benefit of the doubt and understanding that, you know, God does use them like that. But then again, there are some in the last days, there will be counterfeit miracles and counterfeit signs, you know. So just because you're seeing people getting healed and stuff, the devil will heal somebody just to sway them, to pull them away. You know, so
what you said. That is so true. When you say we cannot measure a ministry success by miracles, signs, and wonders, because even the Antichrist will be doing miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen.
That's right. Yeah, you got to look at the character of the people. You know, and fortunately, some of those ministers that I know, that they've, over the years, they've matured and they're just great people, you know, now, and great ministers of God's word, and they have the character to go with it. And so, you know, that's what you have to do. If you see someone like that, you need to just pray for them and you know, extend grace to them. What you're doing is trying to educate the church, and that's good. You know, we educate, we teach, we put it out there. I don't argue with people about things. You know, I don't
right,
argue. They
right.
don't believe in it. So, okay, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people say, well, we don't believe in that speaking in tongues. I said, well, then don't worry. You're not going to do it. You know,
right.
You don't believe in it. You're not going to do it. And so
right.
We don't believe in casting out them demons. Well, don't worry about it. You're not going to do it then. You know,
yeah.
It's not going to happen. You know, and so I don't argue with people. If they don't agree with me, that's fine. I just pray for them. And you know, I said, you just pray about it. And talk to God about it, you know. And so.
Well, Pastor, next question I have for you is, if a person looks at their life and they say, okay, I did get all these tattoos, whether it was before I was saved or I even got some after I was saved, what do I do now? Like, how can I get all this out of me and kind of clean my heart up?
Well,
what do they
what you want
to
look
do?
At? Okay. What you want to look at is that, you know, we're just talking not about tattoos, but there are people do wrong things all the time. They may not make
right.
a mark on their body that everybody can see, You know, I mean, there's so many people that are into pornography that they do it in the dead of night in their bedroom, and you know, and nobody knows about it, but God knows about it, and
right.
That's what that we serve an awesome God. Whenever we recognize we've got a problem and we have sinned against God, that's what the grace is about. We can go to Him, we confess our sin, and He forgives us and cleanses us from unrighteousness. And so, if a person has gotten tattoos before they was a Christian, then, you know, whenever we come to God and said, God, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I ask you to come into my life. Jesus, lead my life. He forgives us. Boom, it's under the blood.
Right.
It's the same, you know, whenever, but then when they go through some deliverance, you know, they need to deal with these issues. They need to break the ungodly soul ties. They need to ask the Lord to forgive them for cutting their body and making these marks on their flesh. And they need to break curses, you know, and then deal with the demons, you know, and get rid of them. But if someone gets a tattoo after they become a Christian, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, we go to God and ask Him to forgive us. We're not perfect. You know, I look at some things that, you know, some people do things that, you know, some people, you think, well, that's not so bad as this other, you know. Well, but if it's sin against God, it's sin against God, you know. And if it's sin against the temple of the Holy Spirit, He said, if we defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, He'll destroy us. In 1 Corinthians 3, see, you know, if we look at that.
Wow.
You know, and so if I have this body and I go and defile it with ink and cutting myself and piercing myself and putting some symbol on me that's not of God, then I've defiled the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know. And so we need to go and really ask God to forgive us of these things.
Right. So
what
do they do, though, if they're in a community that does not have a church like yours or have a deliverance minister in the area? What do they do, Pastor?
Well, I've had people come down here from Minnesota, California. I've had people come from all over to get set free of things, you know. And I've had people that have come from out of state and get set free and go back and start ministries back where they're, you know, where they're from. And then, of course, there's your radio broadcast. There's Omega Man Radio that, you know,
yeah.
I was supposed to be on, you know, you talk about having problems. I was supposed to be on his radio program last Tuesday night, and the power went out in the whole country. And he finally got the power back on, but he didn't have the internet, so I couldn't be on the radio with him the other night. And so, the devil, he doesn't like people who inform. And, you know,
look how he attacked us tonight on all the media.
Big time. Yeah. And so, you know, so we have to look at that. And so I just, you know, I will extend grace to people. I try to teach them. I try to minister to them. But I don't argue with them. And if they don't agree with me, then I don't try to do any deliverance on them. I let the Holy Spirit deal with them. You know, whenever, see, here's the thing that we have to look at with whether we're teaching in a church and ministry or you're teaching and informing people on the air like you are. We still have to look at them as not everybody is going to agree with us. You know, they didn't agree with Jesus. And so we extend grace because we start praying for them. Because if they don't agree with me They won't receive it from me. And even people, there's sometimes whenever I will teach them, and they don't really agree with it, but they say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. But when the Holy Ghost speaks to them, and you know this, Dr. Jim, when the Holy Ghost speaks to you and tells you something, man, it's in there. I mean, it's
right.
There's no arguing with it then, you know. And that's just, and so I turn them over to the Lord and say, okay, God, you deal with them, you know. And because the Bible says, if at all possible, live at peace with everyone, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be at peace than fighting with you, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't change what I believe and what I feel like the Lord's shown me and what I've seen through 35 years of deliverance ministry. You know,
well, that's my
that.
Next question, Pastor. That's my next question. I would like for you to please give us a few examples of people that you've ministered to and how the demons reacted to the tattoos and whatnot.
Well, and like I said, when I minister to someone in deliverance, if they have tattoos, we will break the soul tie with the artist.
Right.
And we break any agreements. And we, you know, ask God to forgive them for that. And I don't have a lot of manifestations. The Bible says that he's given us authority over these things, over all the
right.
power of the enemy. So I bind those undue manifestations. I bind them. And, you know, people coughing and gagging and, you know, spitting up a little bit. I don't mind that. I got trash cans, you know, but I wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not going to wrestle you down to try to cast a demon out of you. I have authority over that demon.
Right.
And you have authority over your own spirit. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And so you have that authority over your own spirit, and God has given us authority over the demons. So we don't have to wrestle with you. And so we don't see a lot of those manifestations like a lot of other ministries have. And I used to see a lot of wild manifestations, but I didn't realize I could stop that. I thought that's okay. They'll remember this, boy, you know. But it's inconsiderate to allow those type of demon manifestations, you know. And you're letting a demon get glory. And see, a lot of people say, well, when Jesus cast demons out of people, they screamed and hollered and threw them down and stuff like that. Well, that's because it was a power upon power thing. Jesus had more power than the demons. But Jesus, while he walked this earth, was still under the old covenant. And when he walked this earth, he was teaching the new way. He was bringing about the new way and demonstrating the new way. But he hadn't died on the cross and paid the sacrifice yet to take back the authority that Adam gave up. And so, therefore,
right.
it was a power thing. Well, now he has taken back that authority. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go and make disciples, see? And so he's given us that authority so that we can bind the demons. We can stop them, you know? Now, he could bind them. He'd tell them, they'd try to talk to him and talk about him, and he'd say, no, be quiet. Be quiet. Hold your peace and come out, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but he's given us authority. And so now we walk in the authority, and Satan has no authority. The demons they still have power, you know, but the power they have is the power that people have given them in their life, going and doing something like getting a tattoo or going and doing sinful things. Whenever you open yourself up to sin like that, you open your life up to the demonic invasion. And so
right.
the person's doing stuff like that, if they're doing that, they've opened themselves up, and they have come into an agreement with the demon and allowed him to come in. So we fall out of agreement with all that stuff.
And, well, then I have another question, Pastor. I have another question. Okay, let's say that a person repents for, you know, piercing their ears, which is a hole, or any other type of piercing, and then they repent and renounce all the soul ties with the people that did it with the tattoos. They repent and say, okay, Lord, please forgive me. I'm not going to do that again. I renounce the soul tie I made with that person when I did it, even though I don't remember it because I was a kid or whatever. But then, should that person ever wear an earring again or put an earring, you know, in their ear? Or, I mean, what should they do with it after they repent?
Well, if they realize the scriptures and what God has said about piercing ears, that piercing, the word that's used for piercing means to be in bondage and enslaved. I mean, that's, I'm sorry. It was the word that said that, you know, in Deuteronomy and also the scriptures that talk about it, that he said that whenever you, when you do this in Exodus 21 and also Deuteronomy 15, it's a sign of slavery for forever. It's a sign that you'll be your servant forever. And that means to enslave or keep in bondage. So if I've done that and then I get the revelation on it and I get prayed for, I take the earrings out and I get prayed for, why would I enslave myself again? You know, I have a testimony of a girl that did that. She came into my office and had these big old pierced earrings and big old loops and she had terrible TMJ. She was addicted to drugs. And we put her through deliverance. And I said, let me pray for your TMJ, your jaw. And I prayed. She had the earrings in. I laid my hands on her. I prayed. And nothing happened. So then I taught her the scriptures out of Exodus and Deuteronomy about slavery for life. And the fact that when you pierce your ears, a lot of times you have a TMJ problem, you know, a jaw problem. And so I asked her, I said, now take those earrings out, and I'll pray for you again. She took them out. I did the exact same prayer, laid my hands on her jaw, the same place, and she was healed. Boom, just like that. And her jaw was healed, and she got set free that night of the drug. She was, I mean, and so we got done, and I turned around to get something off my desk, and I turned back around, and she's putting the earrings back in. I said, why are you doing that? Didn't you understand? I prayed for you, and then I prayed for you after you understood the scriptures, and you got healed, and now you're putting them back. Well, I'm just leaving. I'm going home. I'm just, you know. And I said, I wouldn't do that if I was you. That's, you know, you got set free, and now you're going back to it. Well, three months later, she was hooked again on drugs and never saw her again. You know, so
well,
they come back.
I consider like, let's say we're ministers, okay, and then we repent of what we did with the tattoos and the partnerships we made, and then we recognize that what we did was not good. What we did was actually partner with demons that talked us into doing that. Once we did that, now we're pastoring up on the platform. You know, like, would I want to wear short sleeve shirts and show off my arms and all my tats, or would I want to cover them up and be discreet about it? I mean, what do they do then? You see what I mean?
The guy in our church, he when he was on stage and doing praise and worship, he always wore long sleeve shirts. You know, just out of a courtesy, respect thing, you know, and not he now other times when he was around, he had short sleeve shirts on. Everybody knew he had the tattoos. It wasn't the fact that he was trying to hide them, but what he was trying to do was, out of respect, when he was ministering to the Lord, he would cover them up. And the problem I see a lot of people that their standards have slacked off so much. I mean, I enjoy the Lord. I have a lot of fun with the Lord. I sing with the Lord and sing to him, and you know, I love him so much. He brought me out of so much stuff. But it's the same thing. He brought me out of alcoholism.
Right.
Delivered me from alcoholism. Well, I'm not going to go and, you know, drink a beer. I'm not going to go drink with someone just to be social with them. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to open myself up to those demonic spirits again. You know, come to you out and be separate from among those things. You know?
Right.
And so I don't do that. And so, like you said, you don't go just, you know, I'll just drink a beer just to be social with people. You know? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that if the Lord tells me to go to a place, he has assignment for me there, and he's done that before. He told me exactly what bar to go to, and I went down there and sat down there at the bar and drinking orange juice, and guy came in, sat down beside me, and I sat there and shared Jesus with him for 45 minutes or so, and then I left. You know, God had a reason for me being there. I'd never
right.
been in that place. Didn't have a desire to go to that place. God told me to go down there. And so I did it. And I've been in every bar in Highlands, Texas here. But I go in and I've went in and talked to some of the bartenders and owners and some of them I knew from in town here, you know. And I go and I share Jesus with them. And we had a big Thanksgiving feed here at the church one time, and I went and put up posters in every bar in town inviting people. If they needed a place to come for Thanksgiving, they could come here, you know. And so I've been in every bar in this town, but I don't drink. In fact, I used to drink IBC root beer. I love IBC root beer. I like root beer, see? And so I drank it. IBC root beer driving down the road, and the Lord spoke to me one day, because an IBC root beer bottle looks just like a beer bottle. And he said, people see you in town, they know your testimony, and they see you drinking out of that bottle, they're going to think, well, that guy, he's a liar. You know, he's drinking beer.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't drink IBC root beer in public anymore. I may drink some here at the house, you know, but I don't drink out there where the people, it says abstain from all appearance of evil. And so that's an appearance of evil. Yeah.
Yes, hold on just a moment.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That gentleman that's trying to call you, he is trying to call into Blog Talk, but it will not take it. He is wanting you to pray for him. So I really apologize tonight, Pastor, because the enemy is just...
Well, that's not... Yeah, you don't have to apologize for this. I understand how the enemy works,
and this guy, he has been on the line 10 minutes, Pastor. He has been waiting 10 minutes.
Can he hear me? Can he hear me?
Yes, he can hear you. All right.
Well, then
I'm
going to pray for him.
Okay. Let me make sure they're watching. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, Pastor, they are watching, so go ahead and pray for him. Here's the story,
okay.
Bride's story. This man, he's a minister. He lives in Louisiana, and he got 3 tattoos before he was saved. And he watched the show last week, and he was wanting Pastor to pray for him so that he does not have any residue from what he did. He wants to be completely detached from those tattoos. And if Pastor, if you would, please pray for him. His name is Mark, and he is listening.
Okay, praise God, Brother Mark. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're on here tonight. And first off, I want you to understand God loves you, man, and so do I. And so no condemnation here. And so I'm going to just kind of lead you in some prayers, and I'll say what to say, and then I'll just hesitate a little bit while you say it, okay, and repeat after me. And so first just say, Father God, please forgive me for marking my body.
Yes, Father God, please forgive me for marking my body.
And I come to you tonight repenting, Lord.
And I come to you tonight repenting, Lord.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I break all ungodly soul ties.
I break all
artist,
ungodly soul ties.
With the artist.
With the artist.
With anyone who went with me.
With anyone who went with me.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I renounce these tattoos.
I renounce these tattoos and piercings.
And I break all soul ties with.
And I break all soul ties.
With what the tattoos represent.
With what the tattoos represent.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I break every curse that came upon me.
I break every curse that came upon me.
From cutting myself and
from cutting
shedding
myself,
blood and shedding blood with an unbeliever.
Exchanging blood with an unbeliever.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I give no permission.
I give no permission.
For any demon to stay in
for
me.
For any demon to stay in me.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I bind them right now.
I bind them right now.
And I bind Leviathan.
And I especially bind Leviathan.
And give him no permission to stay in me.
And give him no permission to stay in me.
And I bind pride.
And I bind pride.
And every spirit from Egyptian practices.
And every spirit from Egyptian practices.
And heathen practices.
And what practices?
Heathen practices.
Oh, and heathen practices.
And in the name of Jesus, I command them to leave me now.
And in the name of Jesus, I command them to leave me now.
Now, take that deep breath and blow it out. Out, out, out. Every one of them has to leave you right now. In the
yes.
name of Jesus, I bind
yes.
every spirit there, every spirit of pride, every spirit from those markings on his flesh, every spirit that those markings represent, I command those spirits to leave him right now. You go from Brother Mark, take that deep breath, Brother Mark, and blow it out. Blow it out. Demon is a spirit is breath. It's pneuma, and so boom, blow it out, 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 out. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break the hold that Satan has on Mark's life through these markings. In the name of
yes.
Jesus, he has been forgiven. and it's washed under the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in the name of Jesus, I break every tie with those demons. And I break with all those markings on his flesh, and I command those spirits out of Mark right now. Out. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, for your love for Mark. I thank you, Father God, for the anointing upon him. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we've all done things, Lord, that was against you. But I thank you that you are a merciful, graceful God, and you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so all unrighteousness has to go from Mark's body, cleansed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask for Brother Mark right now that you will enlighten him and show him, Father God. Just open his eyes to things that are there. That, Lord, I know that deliverance is a process and can get more and more, and you draw him closer to you, Lord. Closer. Father God, that you'll speak to him and you'll just make yourself real about how much you love him, Lord. And make yourself real to him, Lord. That he will be able to extend that grace and that love to others as you have towards him. We praise you, Father God. Give you the glory, Lord. And I just thank you for Brother Mark. And Brother Mark, sometimes if you want to call me, you can call my church. 281-843-4000. 281-843-4000.
Yes, Mark, he just gave you the phone number to his church. Now, Pastor, before we get off here, I want us to pray for the bride, that her eyes would be awoke, that her eyes, the scales would come off her eyes about this issue, and that they would have the courage and boldness to stand up in this hour, and especially for the ministers that quit preaching all this stuff, that they would rise up and have boldness in this hour. So, Pastor, before I pray, if you don't mind praying, because I know you probably need to get off here, if you would please pray for the church, and then I will pray. Go ahead, sir. And Mark said thank you. He's watching now.
Amen. Love you, Mark. Yes. Praise God. So, you know, one of the things that I've found is that the church has become very lax. It doesn't seem like there's the reverence there. And I don't try to be, you know, I'm not old-fashioned or anything like that, but when I preach the gospel, on Sunday mornings, I wear a tie to church every Sunday, you know, and the old thing of the Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, you know. I mean, there's so many people nowadays, they preach the gospel and they got ragged jeans on and a T-shirt, and I'm going, Would you go to the White House like that? You know, would you go to some? I've been in the White House in Costa Rica. You know, I've been in the Parliament of Costa Rica and prayed through those places. And you know, you go into those places with respect. And I just feel like there's a lot of people that just don't respect God anymore. And I hate that. I hate it. They're lax, and I think that in the same thing they've gotten lax in their walk of righteousness and their, you know, in their commitment to
now,
the Lord.
Pastor, right? What a lot of people don't know about you is you're actually retired military.
I'm not retired military. I'm ex-military.
That has a lot to do with why you value respect so much and how you know, because I think of people with the American flag, you know, showing respect to our country, showing, you know, respect to the flag. Hey, Pastor, that Mark needs the number to your church again. Do you mind repeating it?
281-843-4000. I'll be gone for the next week, though, Mark.
Yeah, I'm showing him now. His church is Restoration Church in Highlands, Texas. And you can find out about his church at rchighlands.com and about him personally at Dr. Philip with two L's, Morris.org. Okay, he said thank you, Pastor. Okay, Pastor, if you don't mind praying for the bride, and then you can get off here and I'll pray for the bride.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord. And Father, I just ask that you dispatch angels to stand around June and all of her equipment and where she lives, her home and everything. Lord, I just ask that you begin to rebuke the devourer for her sake, Father, in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we just we lift up the work that she's doing to try to educate the body of Christ, Father God. And so I know, Lord, there's a lot of people that they don't understand things and they've never been taught, Lord. And so the body of Christ, Father God, that this information will be able to go out to them and their eyes would be open, Lord. You know, we pray all the time, Lord, anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit's saying. And so, Lord, I pray for an anointing upon the ears of the bride, Father God, that we will hear, we'll learn, and we'll hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. Because, Father, I know, Father God, I can bring the information and we can bring the information, but when the Holy Spirit teaches them and the Holy Spirit quickens it in their body, Father God, and in their mind, Lord, that then it's they can understand it. They can grab a hold of it. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I lift up the body right now that more people would come on this air and listen. Listen to We Are the Bride Radio, Father God, and that there would be a greater audience for Dr. Jim as she brings this message. And so, Lord, I just ask for our eyes to be opened, our ears to be anointed to hear, and that, Father, we'd be able to understand and have the wisdom to receive and do what your word says. And so we thank you, Father, and I ask blessings upon Dr. June. And, Lord, just bring your provision into her, Lord, as you have in the past. Continue to provide for her every need according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, listen, Pastor, I just want to thank you so much for taking your time and putting up with all this mess from the devil tonight. We are victorious in Jesus' name.
Amen,
you know, if we
just one person. Thank you for inviting me on.
You're welcome, Pastor. I'm very thankful I got to come to you and learn all this stuff. I'm very honored. Okay, Bride, listen, we are going to pray for a few minutes. And listen, we are going to come in agreement for the church, okay? Listen, hear my heart. I want to say this once again. This is not condemnation to any person that got a tattoo. This is just one subject that I'm teaching on, which will be an array of many subjects. We're going to do the Freemasons. What is the Freemasons? How did the Freemasons come in the church? What is the Illuminati? Why do we need to know what the Illuminati is? How is the Illuminati trying to take your children out? What is witchcraft? How is witchcraft coming in the church? How do we need to be aware of witchcraft? We're going to talk about worldly music. Worldly music? You mean that's bad? Yes, worldly music is terrible because there's two kingdoms on earth, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of this earth. That is, if it's led by the kingdom of this earth, you don't want it. We want what's led by the kingdom of heaven. And it comes in our churches, and it taints our churches when we bring in this ungodly, satanic music like Michael Jackson and any of that other mess. But anyway, these broadcasts are only to educate, to put it out there, plant a seed, and then go back and research it, Bride. Don't believe my word or his word, but ask the Holy Spirit research it and ask the Holy Spirit, is what they're saying the truth? We're just planting the seed so you can investigate it yourself. And we're not sugarcoating it. We're just telling you how it is, because sin is sin. And we're calling sin for what it is. We are hoping to impart into the church that they would be wise today, that they would be bold today, and that they will stand up for truth and righteousness and quit flirting with the devil and begin to speak truth so people can be set free, not blurring the lines and giving people choices. Well, you know, the Lord told me that it's a sin, but it may not be a sin to you, so I really just pray that you consider this thought before you make that mind. No, just tell them it is sin, yes or no. That's how it is. It's black and white. The Bible is the truth. We stand upon the Word of God, okay? But anyways, so I'm educating what has infiltrated the church based upon my travels across the entire border of the United States, writing the books about the country and what's happening in the country, what's going to happen and whatnot. But anyways, so, Bride, I love you. Please know this is not condemnation, okay? I pray that the Holy Spirit bears witness with the humility in my heart and Dr. Morris's heart in revealing this information to you, okay? So I want to pray for you, Bride, because I love you. And listen, when you love someone, you really tell them the truth. When you think about a father with the children, you tell that child the truth. You don't lie to your child because you don't want them to get in trouble. You tell them the truth so that they will know what to do. They will have a clear line of what's right and wrong and not have it blurred. Okay, so this is my way of showing you I love you, because I'm going to tell you the truth and then you can decide what to do with it. That's how we are as ministers. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for the Clarion Call broadcast. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to go out all across the world and to tell people, Lord, of how the enemy has tried to come in and tried to infiltrate the church and tried to taint your bride, Lord, and tried to bring separation between you and her, Lord. But we declare on this broadcast that the bride is set free, that she is free and beautiful before your eyes, Lord, that the scales would come off her eyes, and she will be able to see what the enemy is doing, Lord. She will be able to see the enemy coming, the wolf coming, and be able to ward him off, because she will be a woman of truth, the bride of truth. And we thank you and give you praise. We give you glory tonight, Lord, for your word coming forth, and we thank you and give you praise, because you will be faithful and just to fulfill your word, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. All right, Bride, listen, thank you so much for being patient with us tonight. It has been a battle tonight. So I've got a lot of praying about whether I'm going to do that broadcast tomorrow, because I realize tonight I need some intercessors. I need some intercessors. If you would please let me know if you would like to be an intercessor. I need a shield about me, okay, because the devil is not playing, and I want to be able to do this professionally and do it right so that you will have an understanding of what I'm trying to say, okay? So I love you, Bride. God bless you, and y'all have a good evening.